Well, good morning. My name is Bill and my wife is Diane. We have been at London Road for about 4 years. I'm on the leadership team and I'm involved with data protection, pastoral work and help with the safeguarding. I'm not normally found at the front of the church, so I was rather surprised when Neil asked whether Diane and I would like to do a Thursday morning devotional. It was obvious he had never heard of my reputation of speaking in churches and how what I might see as encouragement may not seem that way to others. I remember the time many years ago when I was asked to preach at a local Methodist church and how I suddenly found myself saying that the Wesley brothers would turn in their graves if they returned to the current Methodist movement, which in their time was filled with the Holy Spirit but which now is shackled with the Spirit no longer evident in the services. I honestly was really trying to help. Or the time again many years ago when I had been invited to support a leader as he addressed another church in Norwich, and when asked if I felt that God was saying anything, I had felt led to tell them how God was sad with the way that they had been treating their leader. It got worse when the Lord showed me who the main antagonists were, and they were also not who you would have thought they were. Fortunately, it all worked well, and the church is now thriving. Have you ever had somebody say something to you that has stayed with you? Many years ago, I was driving along the A11 near Snetterton. In those days, it was a single carriageway. Today, it's dualled. It was pouring with rain when suddenly, just ahead of me, there was a massive crash. I managed to avoid crashing into the other vehicles by driving my car onto the grass verge, but the car immediately behind me and a couple of others ran into the carnage ahead. I got out of my car and fortunately found that there was a doctor and, would you believe, a nurse also at the scene. So while I managed the scene, they tended to the injured. After what seemed like an eternity, I heard the welcome sounds of two-tone horns coming down the road towards us, and shortly afterwards a police motorcyclist arrived, quickly followed by a double-crewed traffic car. To my amazement, the motorcyclist took off his helmet, climbed into the back of the traffic car, leaving me, now soaked to the skin, still directing the traffic. I wandered across to the officers, and the first thing one of them said to me is, "Funny old day, innit?" These words have stuck with me, and over time, Diane and I, whenever we see a traffic car or a motorcyclist in Norfolk, utter, "Funny old day, innit?" Which brings me to, these are funny old times that we're living in. Most of us are socially isolating. Several of us are having to remain locked down because of our vulnerabilities, and a few others, who are deemed as essential workers, are having to work in very difficult and trying circumstances. Who would have thought that our church would be closed down in the physical sense? And who would have thought that we would have to adapt the way we do church to take advantage of that wonderful tech stuff that we'd always tried to avoid? We now have Zoom meetings, Zoom prayer meetings, Zoom youth groups, Zoom house groups, and even the ability for some of us to listen to the Sunday preach on our telephone. Our website is now receiving more hits. The team, including John, Martin, Fox, and Mark, are putting the Sunday preachers on the YouTube. Yes, LRBC is finally on YouTube. Esther does her daily chaplaincy online message, and Neil and others are doing a Thursday chat. The youth groups have moved online. We are actually more visible now than we were when we were open. And who would have believed that we've come together around the Lord's table while separated physically, but together as one in Him? As the song goes, oh, the times, they are a-changing. We may speak more on that later or at another time. It's wonderful how in this difficult time we have all come to care for each other. You have been amazing keeping in touch with each other by telephone. House group leaders are calling to check you are okay and just to chat. People are sending cards or letters. Gifts of sweets and flowers are mysteriously appearing on doorsteps. I say it again, you have been amazing. As a leadership, we have tried to ensure that everyone of our members and regular attenders have a contact point. If you know of anybody who has not been included, please speak to either Phyllis or myself. Do you know we're all acting differently in these times? Some of us are thriving while others are finding it really difficult. In our house, Diane is loving it. She's spending time sitting in the conservatory reading and having time with the Lord. Whilst down the corridor, I'm climbing the walls, missing my time visiting people and meeting with other church members, and also missing my long, long, long walks with Dennis and my friend Jeff. That said, I've actually read and finished several books. I'm renowned in our family for reading the first and the last pages of a book, and there are a lot of books in our house that have never had the middle bit read. But now I've actually read three books from cover to cover. It's very interesting that these books have all been on the subject of prayer, and they have changed my life and my prayer life from one of asking God to do stuff to one of spending time quietly, just sitting in his presence. I have found contemplative prayer fascinating. I find it very peaceful, quieting my soul and allowing me to spend time in his presence. It's been described as being in three stages: you and God, which moves to God and you, and finally to communion. I've recently found a song called Communion on YouTube. It's by Maverick Music and sums up in a beautiful way what I'm trying to say. It's well worth a listen. I'm using an app called Lectio 365, which is run by the 24/7 prayer movement that is overseen by Peter Gregg. I'm also using an ancient way of prayer and Bible reading called the Lectio Divina, or the Divine Reading. And before bed, I'm trying to do a thing called the Examine, which is an ancient Jesuit method of going over your day. So I'm trying to make use, or the best use, of my time in lockdown. During the Second World War, this nation was called to pray. On the 24th of May 1940, the day King George VI called the nation to prayer, Hitler stopped the advance. For nearly 3 days, as England knelt as one, the German tanks remained grounded. Nothing moved. It was as if God had heard our prayers. Our army was saved and evacuated from what could well have been a massacre. Recently, I read an article on 2 Chronicles 7:14, and in that article, it broke down what God had said to King Solomon shortly after he had completed building the temple. Can I quickly share it with you and how it may reflect on our present situation? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The most powerful words in these famous verses are when, if, and then. He says when, not if, trouble comes. And he says if, not when, we humble ourselves and pray, then he will act. But sadly, when trouble comes, we tend to turn away. We turn to anything but prayer. And that's the big fat if hanging over us in this present crisis. If only we will pray and turn to God, then God will hear, and he promises to heal our land. Healing our land must start with healing for its people. So I'm going to ask you, who do you know who is frightened, anxious or struggling to cope with what's going on at present? I'm asking you if you feel able to offer to pray for them, or if you do not feel able, to just pray for them in your own quiet way. God also tells us how we should approach this prayer. He called us to be humble and to turn from our wicked ways. To humble ourselves, we must first repent, and then we must obey by turning from our wicked ways. God is asking us to trust him and not to move by ourselves. He is seeking quality in our prayer, not quantity. He wants us to be real with him, to tell him how we feel, to keep it simple. We don't need to flower it up. He just wants to hear our hearts. I'm now going to hand over to Di.
Anyone who has used the Bible in 1 Year app by Nikki Gumbel will know that at the end of each study, his wife Pippa will add a thought. Today, this is my thought following Bill's words. Just before I was baptised, a lady gave me a plaque with the words from Psalm 46, verse 10, which most of you will know. Be still and know that I am God. My prayer for you today is that you will know God as you sit with him.
As we close, we're going to play a song. Will you play for our land whilst this song is playing? But before that, may I pray the Aaronic blessing over all of us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Just be here on my knees. else can wait. I've come to seek your face, so everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want to just be here at your feet. Just be here on my knees. Here in your presence, I am complete, Jesus. Nothing I want more, 'cause nothing matters more. There's nothing I want more, God, 'cause nothing matters more, no. There's nothing.